May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is our text. Dear saints, at the beginning of the 16th century, when Martin Luther came on the scene, very few people in Europe had the Bible available to them in their native language, be it English, German, Spanish, French. And for the most part, any Bible that was printed or available in a language other than Latin was likely illegal. All things related to Christianity, at least in the Western Church, were to be in Latin and were controlled by the church. For example, in 1519, seven Christians in England were executed. For what offense? For teaching the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments to their children in English. In 1536, William Tyndale was arrested and burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English. The church of the time had a stranglehold on the word of God, and they abused that power to control the people, to control them not only in a worldly sense, but also to hold them as spiritual captives. If people couldn't read the word of God for themselves, then the church could teach whatever it wanted, and the clergy could do whatever they wanted. Whatever the church said was to be taken as God's truth, because people couldn't evaluate spiritual claims on their own by looking to the inspired word of God. This is what, in large part, the Reformation was all about, reading and studying the word of God and rediscovering the gospel there so that it could be proclaimed to the people. Now, fast forward 500 years to today, and we admittedly don't have that same problem at all. The Bible is widely available in English and many other languages. As of 2017, it was estimated that the Bible had been translated into over 3,300 languages. Not only is it translated, but we have unprecedented access to Scripture. You can pull it up on your phone anytime you want to. Your phone can probably even read it out loud to you. What a great gift. And yet, according to one recent poll, more than one recent poll, knowledge of what's actually in the Bible is on a steady decline. When I taught New Testament at Concordia, the vast majority of our students were not Lutheran, but they would identify as some kind of Christian, and yet I was constantly amazed about how much they didn't know about Scripture. We have the holy and precious Word of God readily available to us. We can know God's will through His Word, and yet people just don't seem to care. They're not interested. I suppose there are better things to do. That thing which 500 years ago people were willing to die for has become boring and passé. Theologian R.C. Sproul put it this way: "I think the greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests his power in the Bible. Everyone is looking for power in a program, in a methodology, in a technique, in anything and everything, but that in which God has placed it, his word." End quote. And to compound the problem, many who sincerely desire to know and study the Word of God and His Word fall prey to false prophets, false teachers who twist the Word of God, even as the church did during Luther's time. They twist the Word of God for their own purposes, leading many to despair and destruction. And now I want you to rewind about 2,000 years when Jesus spoke these words to a group of Jews who had believed in him. He tells them, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus tells them that discipleship is predicated, is accomplished by remaining in Jesus' word. These Jews had the word of God. The Old Testament was read in the synagogues regularly in a language they could understand, and those Jews that didn't know Hebrew well could access the Old Testament in Greek, which was the language of the day. That translation had been around for a couple hundred years at this point, and yet they still didn't understand Jesus' words to them, that he was the one promised in the Old Testament to come as Savior, as Messiah. So Jesus tells them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And these words are for us. As we abide in Christ's word, as we remain in it, we remain in God's word, the word of Scripture, given through the prophets, and the evangelists, and the apostles. As we remain in that word, as we cling to it, as we study it, as we hear it, we will know the truth. And this truth sets us free. So then that brings up two concepts that we need to deal with: truth and freedom. And both of these words, both of these concepts have taken a bit of a beating in our modern times and by our culture. So let's deal with truth first. We hear a lot about truth these days. We live in a world where it's become increasingly difficult to know what actually is true and what isn't. We hear ideas like, well, I have my truth and you have yours, or alternate facts. We're manipulated by social media and algorithms to lead us down a particular path of truth that these platforms think we might be interested in. And then there's religion. Notions like, well, all religions have their truth, or all religions are different facets of the one truth. These predominate. After all, who can really know which religion or denomination actually has the truth? But truth for Jesus, truth for us, isn't some unknowable abstract concept. Though the Pontius Pilates of this world will sneer at us asking, what is truth? Jesus tells us that he is the truth. Truth is embodied in a person. To know the truth that will set you free is to know Jesus himself. To remain in Jesus' word, to abide in his word, is to know Jesus. Because this word, all of it, testifies to who he is and what he has done for you. Truth is a person. To know the truth is to know Jesus. Religious truth has been handed to us in the language that we can understand. Thanks be to God. And St. Paul, in our epistle lesson, tells us what that truth is. He writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You are saved by Christ alone. You are not saved because you're a good person. You are not saved because you're a member of this church or that church. You are not saved by anything you have done. You are saved only by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, as the Scripture alone declares. That is the truth. And what about freedom? The truth will set you free, after all. I think freedom has a special significance, and if you will, a special freight for us as Americans. Other than the word faith, I don't know what other word in our modern day has been so hijacked as this word freedom, and so detrimental to our understanding of what biblical freedom actually is. Now, don't get me wrong, the civil and religious freedoms we enjoy in this country as citizens are truly a blessing from God, but we cannot confuse those constitutional freedoms with the freedom that Jesus is speaking about. In fact, what the world often thinks of as freedom, that ability to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, in whatever way you want to do it, is almost the polar opposite of the freedom Jesus is speaking about. The world thinks that Christian freedom, the freedom of a Christian, is really bondage to God's law, and the world sees their bondage to sin as actually freedom. The freedom that comes from the gospel is freedom from sin, freedom from the consequences of sin, pure and simple. Since you are free from the condemnation that your sinfulness brings, you are no longer needing to spend your life attempting to justify yourself before God. Instead, you're free to serve your neighbor because you have God's promise that he will take care of you. You have died to sin in your baptism. As St. Paul writes, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." The Christian's freedom is not freedom to do whatever you want according to your sinful nature, but freedom to serve your neighbor in whatever vocations God has placed you in. As St. Paul also writes, "Having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness." Christ died for you, and that is the truth. And so you are free from the shame of sin, free from the guilt of sin, free from the hell that all we sinners deserve because of our sin. That is true freedom. And this is the truth revealed in God's word. God's word alone. It is not something the world teaches us. It's not something the world knows about. It's not something we know from our experiences. It's not something we sense with our emotions. As we rightly learned at a very young age, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God's word tells us this truth. The word of God is a treasure. It is the truth that God has given to us to point us to the truth made flesh, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This word is worth hearing. It is worth our study. It is worth dying for. May you abide in God's word so that you will know the truth that makes you free. In the name of Jesus, amen.